Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Conan.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, traders and investors. Welcome to this today, Thursday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. I'm Spencer Israel, here with Joel Conan and Dennis Dick. On the show today, the earnings parade will continue. Just to name a few, we've got PayPal, Under Armour, Ford, American Airlines, Las Vegas Sands, BMY, Buffalo Wild Wings, Amgen, F5 Network, Celgene, Potash, STX, just to name some of the earnings reports that we're going to try to cover. We'll get to as many as we can. And of course, if you have some in the chat you want us to get to, don't forget to use that resource. We also have a couple news headlines to discuss. Weight Watchers got a new CEO and some potential M&A in involving Walgreens again. Our guest today will be at 8:25. That's Paul LaMonica. He's the digital correspondent at CNN Money. One of our favorite followers on Twitter. One of our favorite guests. Joel, how's it going in the S&Ps right now?
Well, we made a high yesterday, a couple points within the all-time high, but we stalled at 94.75. 98 even is the all-time high. The close, 82.75. That's been good support. We're trading up $3 here, so see if we can make another shot there at that all-time high. Crude not helping, trading down a stick here at 48.63. Gold up, silver down, kind of going mixed directions. Dennis, let's get right into it. We got a lot of earnings to cover today.
Let's jump into, where do you want to start? I want to start with a theme that I've been noticing, and has anybody else been noticing this theme as well? But the theme is that they have been buying the dogs and they have been selling the stars on these earnings reports. Despite whatever the earnings say, you know, there's always media that's going to justify the move afterwards. But look at the theme, and here's the evidence for you. You know, you can look at, you know, Seagate yesterday as one of your stars. They absolutely murdered that stock. And then you can look at Twitter. Twitter is one of your dogs, and they bought it. You know, and the media is, you know, saying, you know, this reason. Reason is they're just buying stocks that have been weak on the going into earnings, and they're selling stocks that have been strong going into earnings. Under Armour, a great example from today. UA trading up significantly here in the pre-market. Ford's trading up here in the pre-market. We saw GNC last week. That's another example of them buying the dog. So I've been noticing this theme. Give me some more examples, Chad, if you notice this as well. I just noticed this in the last couple of days here, and wish I'd been playing Under Armour ahead of it because it's getting a big pop. Let's just talk Under Armour here for a second. You know, let's go to UA earnings, Spencer, and tell us how they did.
UAA Q1 EPS of a 1 penny loss versus a 4 penny loss estimate. Sales of 1.117 billion versus 1.11 billion. So they did okay there. They also reaffirmed their fiscal year 17 outlook. Sales growth is slowing, however, but it seems to be, like you said, Dennis, they're buying it up because they didn't miss badly. They didn't miss it all.
That's right. It. They didn't miss badly. And if you miss badly, you get hit no matter what. We know that. But the companies that are wishy-washy earnings, if you've been running up, so that's the ones I'm talking about. I'm talking about the companies that have kind of like, okay, it's an okay report, or okay, that's like a wishy-washy report. If you've been running up in earnings, they hit them on that. And if you've been going down, they buy them on that. So the ones that, you know, blow it out like Caterpillar are going to go up no matter what. The ones that miss big time, you know, like, you know, U.S. Steel yesterday, are going to go down no matter what. But these stocks that have these, is that a good report or a bad report? Best thing you can do is look at the chart in the last 3 months. If the stock's been weak, they've been buying them. If the stock's been strong, they've been selling them. And that's what I'm seeing here with UA this morning. It's trading up on 266,000 shares. You can pick your poison. There's two stocks, UA or UAA. Both those stocks trading heavily in the pre-market, 426,000 for UAA. Maybe we'll talk that one first. Joel, give us a level of significance.
Yeah, first I just want to mention that Twitter report from yesterday. I mean, punk revenues. I mean, I think it's the lowest revenue figure that they've had in really since 2015. And, you know, they still rally the stock on it on the MAU. So they kind of pick what they want to focus on. UAA, I'll do that real quickly. First, we got a pop to 21.93, but we're backed off in the lower 21 handle. To me, on the dailies, 21.50 just sticks out here. We had a high at 21.50. Going back, when was that? 21?
I'm going to say 22. I'm going to go over you because look at all those. Look at February, Joel. You like the 21.50 level better than 22 on UAA? Look at February, how many times it rounded around $22. And that was the day that we gapped down on the last earnings report. That was the old, that was where we opened that day. It was just above 22. So I know you like the half and whole numbers. I love that 22, though, as resistance.
Okay. All right. Well,
maybe 21.50, though. You know, what's the high? What's the pre-market high?
Pre-market high is 21.93.
Ah, so there's your 22. I go with 22. I'm changing your mind, I think, too.
But it's a regular session. We backed off 21.75, right? Sell 100,000 there.
A lot of overhead supply up there too. Exactly. $22. I don't think this is going to be a stock that's just going to just continue to take off. This is a relief pop. Shorts getting squeezed probably a little bit here. Maybe expecting, you know, disappointing results again because last earnings report we went from $29 down to $22. So this earnings report, the shorts get caught a little bit, and they have, like we've been saying, getting caught on those weaker stocks. So weak going into the report. They seem to be buying those stocks. So you can justify in the media whatever you want. I'll just look at the chart and say, hey, if this earnings number is the top and bottom line, look kind of wishy-washy, the stock's been weak, they've been buying it.
UA, the $20 level, corresponds to that $22 level that that Dennis was mentioning. So we'll see. Paratraders today have some fun.
The other dog here has been a perennial dog is Ford. And F is getting a relief pop here this morning as well on their earnings report. Spencer, give us the details.
39 cents versus 36 cents. Sales of 36.48 billion versus 34.7. So good numbers.
Good numbers. Stock getting a little bit of a lift here. Big psychological level would be $12 for me on this one. I still own this in my investment portfolio. I'm planning on keeping this. I've had it for a long time. I added to it last year. Obviously, I maybe shouldn't have added to it because it went down since then. But I like my 5% dividend. I'm sticking with it.
And here you did. You get a nice pop up to 1190, double top on the 15-minute chart. This is interesting because to me, 1180 is the big number. Let's see if we can open under 1180. Two highs at 1176 and 1180. A couple other highs at 75, 77, 83. So to me, 1280 is the big level. You clear that, man. There's a lot of room if you can clear out the institutional sellers at 12. But this one, if you're buying it off the open, you don't want to see any kind of retreat. You want to buy it, boom, 1180, 11.5, 1190, and just keep on going. Is it Spice here coming in with a candidate? Dennis Fizz is one of the hot stocks. You think maybe they'll sell this one? FIZ.
When do they report?
I think when is Fizz?
They report on.
It's already reported. No, that already did. It already
no,
got
didn't.
Hit.
No, they didn't.
No, that's what I said.
Maybe Fizz is an example of nice earnings got hit.
They report.
What was that? Well, that was a downgrade that day.
Yeah.
Even though this is a downgrade on Fizz, hit it that hard. Because we're looking at, I'm looking at that gap in the chart and fooled me too, Spike. I'm just looking at that thinking, oh, that must have been an earnings report. But that was just a downgrade that day where it went from $92 a day before all the way down to $83. 9 points down on a downgrade.
Fizz is Monday, they report.
It's on Monday. Yeah. Keep that in mind. If that has a little pop up to that 90 area, it is a candidate. You
after,
know what other is
bell.
A candidate
I'm sorry,
here too?
Before the bell.
Just while we're talking, and I don't know if it is a candidate. Now, I would say GoPro is a perennial dog. It's going to report here tonight. The only problem is GoPro has actually run up in the last month. So it kind of already had, you know, you look at down here at 750. It got down to 7. Now it's up at 9. So that's why maybe it's not a candidate here now. I was hoping GoPro, when I just brought up the chart, would be near the lows because then it would be a good candidate. But it's significantly off the lows there, and it's due to report tonight.
Just going back to the Fizz here because I've been just concentrating on the stock for a while, trying to pick a time to short it. Do you know there's one analyst on Wall Street that covers it? And that is Credit Suisse. And if you would have listened to them in September of 2016, they initiated coverage at a neutral. Then they upgraded it to a buy in December. And then they're the one that downgraded it and had that big hit.
They control the stock.
Yeah, they do. They do. So that's interesting to know. But I'm sorry, we got a little bit off the earnings theme here, Dennis.
Well, back, that's okay. We always go on our tangents. Everybody who listens to us knows we go on tangents for a while. Just before we jump back into the earnings, I just want to talk quickly about U.S. Steel and Seagate from yesterday. That U.S. Steel sell-off was absolutely incredible. It was down almost 30%. on their earnings reports. So, and like we said, this is one example of, you know, trying to be a hero and trying to call the bottom, and you could get hurt, you know, doing that. And if you were trying to do that, you know, the 28 level, you know, just on the earnings report, you went from 30, you know, closed around, what did it close that day? Closed at, right before going to the earnings, 31, looks like 31.11. And you'd say, okay, well, maybe the 28, you had a little double bottom there. Well, that took it out. When it takes it out, you know, don't stick around and say, okay, well, it's going to come back, because it doesn't have to come back. And then it went through 27, 26, and then it opened in the 25 handle, or it actually didn't even open in the 25 handle. It was trading the pre-market, the 25 handle. The stock opened in the 24 handle. Everybody thinks they're getting in on the cheap still. And then it went straight down again through the 23 handle into the 22 handle. Just incredible sell-off. You know what else was interesting about U.S. Steel? Is we've been saying on the show for a long time, sympathy has not been working like it historically does. Look at Nucor, opened up near the lows with sympathy, ended up green on the day. Look at AKS, same thing, opened up near the lows, ended up in the green. Steel Dynamics, same story, opened up near the lows, trading down because the initial traders who think sympathy works sell it at the open. And they get run over because sympathy has been working and the stock went straight up too. So if you're playing sympathy, it's been a very difficult play. I'm going to say it again here. So just because the stock opens down, you get a few traders, because you got to think about the opening print. It's based on a lot less traders than throughout the entire day. So if you've got the big money institutions, there's like only a few probably participating in that opening print. And then they say, nah, we might, you know, like the stock actually. And it's been the theme. And the theme has been actually the sympathy plays. Like, it was the same thing with Mattel Hasbro. MAT was very weak. Hasbro opened down that day. By the end of the day, had closed in the green, and then it had a good earnings report and went up. So stocks are kind of their own animals here, but that was incredible that Steel Dynamics, Nucor, AKS all closed green on a day that U.S. Steel goes down 27%.
I agree. STX is another example. I mean, they beat by 3 cents. They matched on the revenues. Look at where the stock has come back to, though. What an interesting level. Gapped up on earnings, had a low of 42.16, and then, boom, it was straight up. I think I had like 11 out of 15 or 11 out of 13 days went on. Made the new all-time high going into the report. Now you're right back at this gap area. You made a low yesterday in Seagate at, I think, 41.86 here, but if there's more selling pressure on this thing, what's going to stop it taking it to $38?
Yeah, well, that's one thing. You're in a gap here now, and stock all of a sudden, you have a lot of people who probably bought at 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50 in the last month. Stock starts to get back up. Those people are like, thank you, get me out. So now we have an overhead supply issue here in Seagate. So, you know, there's some air up to 44, I'll say that, but there's a lot of air, like you're saying, down to 38. So it's a hard risk-return battle here. I think I'm sitting on my hands on this. And actually, at this stock started getting up to the 44 area, I like it from the short side more than the long side. So just because the stock falls 10% or 15% doesn't necessarily mean it's a buy. And you're right, Joel. There's a lot of air below here still.
Dr. J, paying attention to the show here, brings up a candidate. And this is a great Fitbit. Look at this one, Dennis.
There's a good candidate. It's been running up a little bit, too. Maybe people have realized in the last few days that they've been buying the dogs because they run Fitbit up just the last 3 days here as well. But it's a candidate. It doesn't report till May 3rd. Themes can change by then. I'm just talking the theme right now seems to be, yeah, you know, buy. So we get more information, and we'll see if that theme is still progressing through earnings season. But it's an obvious theme right now.
Yeah, Fitbit, I mean, it has had a rally from when that person got burned.
Still a dog. Definition,
yeah, still a dog. $6, though. Traded up 8 cents in the pre-market. Had a $5.99 high yesterday. Another high right around $6. Actually, $5.98 on the 31st of March. So potential breakout Fitbit over $6.
Okay, back to the earnings parade here. And I do want, actually, before we do that, I just want to give you some props here, too. Because you, yesterday on the pre-market show, were saying on U.S. Steel, and we were just saying, you know, we just said on Seagate there's air below. Well, you said this on U.S. Steel yesterday when it was trading the 25 handle. You're like, there's a lot of air still below here if it starts to take out 25. And Joel, man, down to 22.78, so it was a great call by you on the show yesterday morning.
All right, thank you. And actually, I'm going to try and find a little article I did here on the best fade of the Trump trade. And this was a couple weeks ago, or about a week and a half ago. I'll see if I can find it for our viewing audience.
Jumping back over to... Okay, the chat's bringing up all the dogs here now. So they're saying, look at Nokia here this morning. Nokia is a perennial dog, too. But what is Nokia? Was there earnings? Was there news here? Nokia's trading up 6% here this morning.
Give me
Spencer,
second.
Do you see anything on NOK?
Give me a second here.
Spencer, go hunting.
This morning? No. Maybe they have earnings they haven't reported yet. Let me check.
Are there I feel like there's got to be somebody said
no,
something out there.
See
Let me go take a look here, too. We're both hunting.
Oh, wait. Because, I'm sorry. Seeing, yeah, they are due to report before the bell. I don't think they have yet.
That's a big pop-up, though, for no news here. Trading up 6.7%. I'm trying to look here, too, and I'm not seeing anything jump out to me here either. No, I don't see anything jumping out here either. Oh, no, it did. It looks like it did have earnings here this morning, Spencer. Reiterate full year. Yeah.
Okay.
I think Nokia did have numbers. I don't see them there either. Usually, you know, it's obviously a foreign company here, so you got to go digging a little bit further maybe to find it. But it does look like they did report, and they beat on revenues. So, chat, if you can verify that, I'm just trying to grab just from my sources. Looks like Nokia did report. So stock is trading up here in the pre-market, 573. Man, this is one thing to consider, though, when you're trading the ADR. It's already trading over in Europe. It's actively trading over in Europe. So it's already actively priced for all this information here. So you can see it's very thick here, 573 to 574. So you can say price discovery looks like it is already baked into this price.
And just you got to thank Deutsche Bank here for the downgrade in U.S. Steel today.
You're still a little bit analyst chasing price just a little bit. I'm surprised you didn't see more downgrades. Every analyst be like, I gotta adjust my price because they're all sitting there. Prices are all out to lunch and they've all got to adjust. So maybe more downgrades are coming. Jumping back to the earnings parade, though, a lot of stocks, a couple airliners, Spencer, let's go to LUV and American Airlines, both reporting, both disappointing here. Both actually were running up into the report. So fits our theme here as well, you know, selling the strong stocks into the reports. Give us the earnings for LUV and AAL. Give us the combo.
All right. Southwest is Q1 adjusted EPS, 61 cents versus 63 cents. Sales of 4.9 versus 4.92 billion. So they missed on the EPS number. They missed on the sales. That was LUV. American Air reported Q1 EPS of 61 cents versus 55 cents. So they beat their EPS number. Sales of 9.624 versus 9.6 estimate. So they beat both. American Airlines beat both. Love missed both.
And both stocks getting the beats here this morning. So we'll go to LUV. It's trading down about a buck and a half here in the pre-market. Giving back about half of its recent run from the last couple of weeks here, trading at 55.50. Joel, give us one number for LUV and then give us one number for American Airlines.
Do you want support or resistance?
I guess support because the stock's coming down.
I will say a nice area in love if you're looking to buy on support would be 54.
I was going to say the same number. So okay. That's what I was thinking too. Okay. LUV. And then American Airlines. Yeah. And obviously, you know, you got to be careful, you know, when you're buying on support stocks are weak because sometimes they crush through it like X did yesterday.
Yeah.
So get caught in a significant sell off. But Joel's just trying to give you a level where he thinks it could be a potential bounce run.
I'll tell you right now, when this reminds me of the X chart from yesterday where it was hugging just near the low, the pre market low with no bounce. So
yeah.
I'm going to go a little bit lower on this one, and I'm going to say cover some shorts at 43.37.
On American Airlines,
yep.
43.37.
Because there is three
triple
lows,
bottom.
43.33, 36, and 43.40. So
I see it. I agree with you. I like that number there, too.
Hit it to down there, Dennis. Hit it right
I
now.
I don't know if I'm going in there with
hit
a buy
it.
Order, though. But
no,
I agree
hit it
if
until
I was
it
sure
gets
the stock,
there. Take out all the bids until it gets there and then put out a bid.
Yeah. Just ding, ding, ding. That's where it's going. That's another way to play the levels, too. When you see a significant level and starts to get close to it, a lot of times it goes to that level. And you can actually go with the flow then, too. So there's lots of different ways to play earnings. So, you know, and there's lots of different ways to play news as well. And there's lots of different ways to play Joel's different levels. You know, if we have a significant level, it can become like a magnet. And it'll want to get there. And then you say, okay, well, if the stocks, let's just say, hypothetically, X stock XYZ, is, you know, got a huge level of $20 and it's come from 24 all the way down to 20.5. You can say, wow, it's going to probably test the 20. So you can actually short 20.5, buy it at the 20 when it tests it and make money that way too. So lots of different ways to play off the levels. And significant levels do become like a magnet if you get close enough to them.
Yeah,
I don't see anything American Airlines that significant though.
Yeah. And Des, you're kind of good at that too. You can like short something and then flip it into a long without any remorse.
That's married.
That's tough to do, man. Very tough
to do. One of the toughest to do. And I'm still not that good at it. Professionally trading for 18 years. And, you know, I do it the odd time, but a lot of times, you know, you got a good short on and you cover and you're like, yeah, you know, this was the level it got there. And then it turns around reverse, like, why did I go long? You always ask yourself that. So it's a difficult thing to do. You know, it's a difficult thing. I still, you know, for myself, I am very good. I'll say this about myself. I'm very good at entering the position. I'm very good at finding the setups to get in good. I've always been terrible at exiting the position. I've got the scalper blood. I always get out too soon. I always leave 3/4 of the money on the table. And I mean, it's paying my bills. I've, you know, it's my only source of income for 18 years was, you know, trading. So it's still paying my bills, but I've left a lot of money on the table over those 18 years by getting out too early. So some traders will say, well, that's good. You know, you can never get the whole move. You take, you know, what you can get. But I definitely leave too much on the table a lot of times in some of my trades. And that's, you know, an art too, getting out of the trade.
How about PayPal?
PYPL earnings getting a pop here in the pre-market and after hours last night. Spencer, tell us about PayPal numbers.
44 cents versus 41 cents. Sales 2.975 billion versus 2.94. So beat on the top and beat on the bottom.
Kind of goes against our theme, although it had a pretty ugly candle yesterday. So maybe catches a few people there that were already ahead of the theme saying, I'm selling. And well, if you were selling yesterday, you're not happy because the pop does continue here on PYPL, trading up at 46.83, which is up over $2.
Pre-market high, 47.70. That's a new all-time high by quite a bit. We've settled down here. It looks like maybe a seller here at 47, but keep an eye on 47 and 47.70. Those are your pre-market levels. Coming back on the downside here, it's easier to find support. Old double top at the old-time high, 45.01, 45.04. So if you get a nice vacuum on the downside, I expect 45 to act as support. And somehow I got banned from PayPal. I don't know what I did.
You didn't pay your bill or what?
No, I don't know. I was like, I was switching credit cards or something, and they kept on sending me emails, and I think I might have sent a nasty email back to them, and they're like, you're banned. And I'm like, I don't care. I pay cash.
Banned from PayPal?
Yeah. I don't know. I paid my bill. I can't remember what it was, but I pay cash for everything anyway. So.
All right. Back to the earnings parade here. Domino's Pizza. Somebody in the chat was just asking about it. DP Zebra. And who was that? He was asking, who was the guy that we had on the show who was super bearish Domino's Pizza? Because that
the
has
Rev.
Been a...
The Reverend.
Is it the Reverend?
The Reverend.
Is he still holding on? Do you know
oh,
if he's
yeah.
still shirtless?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's stubborn like that. He'll hold on to those shorts, though. I always get out. I'm scared. I get out. But he holds on sometimes to come back, but I think he's taking some heat on this one. DP Zebra,
sorry. K1 EPS, $1.26 versus $1.16. Beat that by 10 cents. Sale of $624.22 versus $615.48 million. So good numbers. Very good.
Good numbers. Stock's getting a lift here. This has been a strong stock, but not super strong. So I don't know if this follows the theme because started 2016, 165, 180. It's had a pretty good 3-4 months here. But I don't know if I'm jumping in and saying this is follows the theme. This thing's going to give it all back. But I'm definitely not chasing it here because lots of overhead supply in the higher 180s.
Let's see here. Pre-market high just over 187 to 187.50. Sticking out to me, so if this rally can continue, is the 188 level. A couple tops just under 188 from April 4th and April 5th. Coming back on the downside, if this thing goes into reverse, I think just looking over the last half hour, if it got under 185, I think I'd be more apt to get out of a long than initiate a short.
Another example of sympathy not working and using the earnings leader to play the next earnings stock is Las Vegas Sands. Wynn Resorts, great day yesterday. Huge pop for WYNN. Las Vegas Sands having nothing of it. And if you looked yesterday, Las Vegas Sands actually didn't close up very much. And their report when it came out was like, it looked okay to me, but I was like, you know what? I don't think it's good enough, especially after the Wynn report. I actually short the stock. So here's an example. I got chopped around, though. So I shorted the stock up at 59.5, and then it chopped around in there for a while, and I was like, and I ended up covering it, and the stock, as soon as I covered, I think I covered around like 59.50. Like, I basically scratched the trade because it chopped around for 5 minutes, and I got to hold on. So I was right. And I just couldn't hold it well enough because the chopped me out, and then it just collapsed. And
better
then
it hold 58.
Felt like a buck in the next like 5 minutes. I was like, I had it. And, you know, I got chopped around. Sometimes these earnings are going to chop you around, though, and sometimes you're, you know, you, my initial thought was right, but again, exiting the trade, an exit, right? And I actually scratched one that I should have made money on.
57.83, two-day low, 57 even, double bottom.
Let's finish this thought and our others with our next guest, Paul LaMonica, digital correspondent at CNN Money. We'll be right back with Paul.
Welcome back, traders and investors, to Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep, brought to you by Benzinga Pro. I'm your co-host, Joel Elkana, along with Dennis Dick and Spencer Israel. We have a special guest on the line, Paul LaMonica, digital correspondent at CNN Money, at LaMonica Buzz on Twitter, one of my favorite Twitter feed followers. How you doing today, Paul?
Very kind of you. Thank you so much.
All right, just real quick, Dennis and I were talking about a little theme here. Actually, Dennis pointed out how, you know, buying some of the dogs here on earnings, Twitter as an example, Ford's getting bought up here, and selling kind of the high flyers like Seagate just got lit up yesterday, and they beat for EPS and had a slight miss. If you have any comments on that theme?
Yeah, I think it is definitely going to be worth watching how some of the high-tech momentum stocks in particular do with earnings coming up. You know, after the bell today, we've got you know, Google, Alphabet, we've got Amazon, we've got Facebook, and you know, those are stocks that have all done really well. But is it the case that, you know, with high expectations, you know, come you know, dire consequences if you, even if you beat, if the guidance isn't good enough, or if the magnitude of the beat isn't strong enough, and you are seeing, you know, stocks with very low bars. I mean, it's hard to imagine a company with lower expectations than Twitter, and clearly they beat estimates, and that was enough to justify a pretty nice pop. And I mean, I'm sure some of it's a short squeeze, but you know, I'm not so sure having that with Ford, though.
Paul, this is one of the biggest earnings days. Over 255 stocks reporting here today. We've heard from a lot of companies here this morning. And like you were saying, we're going to hear from Amazon tonight. We're going to hear from Google tonight. We're going to hear from Intel and Microsoft here tonight. I mean, this is just a huge day. Tell us how, you know, and obviously you're reporting on all this. When you see 255 stocks on your list, where do you focus?
It's very difficult. I mean, I think, you know, you don't want to ignore some of the smaller cap and mid cap companies that might have some interesting stories, you know, individually, and may also have, you know, a potential to, you know, give you some color about the state of corporate spending and consumer spending overall. But I think, you know, especially from the vantage point of our readership at CNN Money, people are really interested in the mega caps. And I think that's what we're seeing with the market right now. I mean, everyone is infatuated with those top five, you know, most valuable companies that all happen to be tech. If you want to call Amazon tech and not retail, I think you can legitimately do that because of their cloud business. So, you know, it's Amazon, Microsoft, Google, Alphabet, Facebook, and I'm forgetting the other one. It's some company in Cupertino that that they make Mac computers. Yeah, Apple and all their cash. You know, and ironically, I mean, I've written about this. I mean, the tech sector clearly has a lot that they do not like about the Trump administration. But with tax reform now coming back to the forefront, all those companies, you throw in Oracle and Cisco as well, they have so much cash sitting overseas. If they can repatriate it at a lower rate, you know, some people I've talked to have said that you could have the equivalent of cash coming back overseas and being used for stock buybacks, dividend increases, and, you know, even, you know, dare I say, building new plants and capital expenditure investment and hiring more workers. It could be like the corporate equivalent of a QE4. That might be overstating it, but people are talking about it.
Well, Trump talked about this just a couple days ago, you know, and possibly putting, you know, that the tax there. And I know it was an article going by just with, you know, the potential for Apple because it does have so much cash overseas. And some people were viewing that as a negative, but it sounds to me like if the rate's low enough, it could actually be a positive.
Yeah, I think, you know, that definitely could be the case. I mean, I think what is going to be very key is that, you know, from the market's perspective, you know, if companies like Apple brought back cash and raised the dividend and bought back more stock, that would be sufficient, I think, for Wall Street. Investors would love that, but that would not necessarily be palatable to the millions of voters who backed President Trump on the notion that he was going to make America great again and help the middle class and lead to, you know, more job creation. So I think that it would be very interesting. It'll be very interesting to see whether or not there are some conditions attached on bringing back cash. And, you know, a lot of people I talk to think that it wouldn't be the worst idea in the world if, you know, companies were, you know, there was some pressure on them to use cash that they're bringing back to the U.S., not just for shareholder-friendly types of actions, but things that could actually boost the economy and be good for average consumers as well, which, of course, is what we know the president wants.
Paul, I've been following the top components in the S&P, I don't know, for quite a few years now. And, Dennis, I haven't mentioned this to you lately, but if you do the combined Google, here are your top five stocks in the S&P 500 index. It's going to be no surprise. Apple, Microsoft, mm-hmm. Google, Amazon, and Facebook. Do you get a little worried here that you're getting too much of a high concentration in these tech stocks, and it's just not broad-based enough rally to continue? Does that give you any you know, feelings that we may be, you know, seeing a top in the market?
I think it is a very valid question and a legitimate concern. The good news, at least so far, is that most of those companies, or, you know, pretty much all of them, are doing extremely well, have justified their run-ups. They have a lot of cash. They have good balance sheets. And with the exception of Amazon, which has been overvalued on conventional metrics since the company came into existence, you know, 20-something years ago, you know, the other ones are reasonably priced. So I don't think you've got any real fear that this is you know, a massive bubble about to burst in the way we did with you know, tech stocks, you know, in 1999 and early 2000. That being said, you do have to be wary when there is so much concentration in just a handful of stocks. It's clearly a crowded trade, and, you know, it could be the case where just a minor slip by any of those companies could lead to a massive shift in the stock price. And, you know, they're all momentum stocks. So if, you know, some traders start getting out of them, or some big institutional investors, be it mutual funds or hedge funds, start to unload, then, you know, that creates a ripple effect, and a lot of investors then wind up following suit.
Paul, there is some examples of some stocks that valuation just doesn't seem to matter. You know, you cited Amazon, but what about Tesla? Because I look at this, you know, it's trading with a market cap more than Ford now, approaching the market cap of General Motors if it hasn't passed it already. And, you know, I see a lot of Fords and I see a lot of GMs when I go driving my car. I don't see a lot of Teslas on the road. So obviously a lot of people are banking the Teslas taking out Ford GM. But, you know, another point you were just making, you know, is momentum. And it seems like when the momentum gets going one direction, sometimes valuation doesn't matter. And, you know, eventually it does come to roost, and eventually it probably does matter in the long run. But the ball just keeps rolling and rolling. And Tesla, like I've been saying for a while, you know, I feel it's way overvalued, but I'm not going to short the stock because it's hard to fight that momentum.
It is very hard to fight the momentum. And when you look at Tesla, they clearly, at least there is the hope that they can become a bigger player in the mainstream auto market with the Model 3. That's the more affordable car coming out. The deal for SolarCity, while you can, you know, cry about nepotism because it's Musk's cousins that run that firm, you know, that does, I think, give some bullish Tesla investors hope that Tesla's not going to be a one-trick pony and that it can really leverage its expertise and the investments it's making in the Gigafactory to, you know, increase, you know, its market beyond cars and, you know, into solar panels and, you know, just, you know, the kind of eco-friendly home, if you will. But the big thing I think that people have to be wary of course, with Tesla, and I'm going to show my age here because I'm going to quote a song by Living Color from the late 1980s, the cult of personality with this stock. I mean, Elon Musk, you know, people who love him, they really love him, and they think that he can do no wrong. And I bet you there are a lot of people that if SpaceX were to go public, that Tesla investor base would probably lap up that stock because they just love Elon Musk and everything he does. So that's one thing that gives me pause because, you know, anytime you have a stock tied up in just one person, it could be a problem. And I'm not so sure, unlike Apple, where obviously Steve Jobs was the face of that company, we all know that, you know, Tim Cook was there for years behind the scenes. He was a very able COO, and now I think he's done an admirable job as CEO. I honestly have no idea if something were to happen to Elon Musk, what comes next? Who takes over Tesla? I couldn't tell you.
Quick question. I know we're up against the clock here. How did you come up with @LaMonica Buzz as your nickname on Twitter?
That's honestly, it really is a function of at the time I was writing a column called The Buzz that we still brand some of my stories on CNN Money as. So when we were just coming up with my Twitter handle, we thought La Monica Buzz might be a good one just to kind of leverage off of the column name. So
and
really
I know there's Mrs. Buzz and the Little Buzz.
It's not
Buzzes.
Like an old childhood nickname. No one ever
okay.
calls me Buzz or anything like that.
I know
that.
You call your kids that.
The thing is that
so.
it has to do with all the caffeine that I consume in the morning, probably.
All right. Well, hopefully we're going to see you out at the Benzinga FinTech Awards coming up soon. We'd love to see you there. Thanks for coming on. Great input.
Thanks
as always. We'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate it. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, S&P futures just hanging up near the high of the session, up 350 at 85.75. Finding a little wall here, I'd say over, let's go back to the 15-minute chart, since 7.45, just been hanging here at the 86.50 level. That's your daily pivot. See if we can take that up, get in a 23.90 handle.
Quick imbalance look here. U.S. steel follow through sellers. Maybe you can call these institutions late to the party, but there's somebody selling or a couple institutions selling. 298,000 a sell in U.S. steel. So the fall does continue here, 4X. So if you're hoping that the bottom was in yesterday, I don't know if it's going to be there here. 22.56 was the low yesterday. It's right there trying. We always look for double bottoms and stuff, but I had a funny feeling it's going to take that out here today and maybe some continued weakness. A lot of times on day two, you see the turnaround 10 o'clock. So we'll have to see if we can, maybe we sell off the first 20 minutes or so. If we can turn after that, maybe we can get a little bit of a relief pop here. But U.S. steel's been ugly. Barrick Gold, 158,000 to buy ABX. AT&T, 118,000 to sell. Nike, this is a theme here I've been seeing for a while now. Nike, another sell imbalance, 79,000 shares. That's been a couple days in a row now. I've noticed some big sell imbalances in Nike, so it could be some institutions offloading some stock in that. Caterpillar, 52,000 to sell. Maybe some continued selling or just continued profit-taking from this huge pop. And Caterpillar was another stock that made another high yesterday. But the big hole numbers coming to play. 105.98 was the high yesterday on Cat. 106 is the big number probably there. That's about it for the imbalances. We'll give you another update at 8:55.
Real quickly, going back to the hole number theory, Mickey D's, boom, makes a high 141.98 on earnings day. High yesterday, 142 even.
They work.
So we were talking, we were talking about the whole number at 137, 138, 139, 140, 141. Now 142 may be the actual number.
All right, we're going to take our second break of the day, a spontaneous break, and we're going to bring on Jason Raznick. He's the CEO of Benzinga. He's going to talk for a couple minutes real quick about the FinTech Awards, where you may see Paul, Kevin O'Leary, if you watch Shark Tank, will be there. So real quick, we'll be right back with Mr. Raznick. All right, welcome back, traders and investors, to Benzinga's pre-market prep. I'm Spencer Israel, here normally with Joel Conan and Dennis Dick, but at the moment, I have some new faces on the line. We're on with Jason Raznick and Nicole Lapointe. Nicole is the head of our events at Benzinga. Jason is, of course, founder and CEO, and they're going to give us a little bit of a rundown of what's going to happen at the Benzinga FinTech Awards in about 3 weeks from now. So, Raz, you want to start, or Nicole, give us a quick update?
Well, yeah, I just feel bad. I know I cannot fill the famous Joel O'Connor seat. So I'm looking at him right next to me, and I'm like, this is just, I don't know, uncomfortable. But, yes, Nicole and I are excited to let you guys know about the Benzinga FinTech Awards. Nicole, you want to start? And then I'm going to jump in with a bunch of things I want to tell our active listeners to about.
Sure. Well, the awards are taking place May 11th at Tribeca 360. We're really excited. Because of popular demand, we have added an hour to our agenda. We are kicking off the event at 11 a.m. So we are super excited for you to be a part of the event.
Yeah, and so some of the things we've done, this is our third year, and we bring big names to the event. This year we have names like Shark Tank's Kevin O'Leary. You'll get a chance to not just meet him or pitch him, but you'll also get to learn about the man behind the world's most famous shark. We have other people like Seth Marin, the founder of Liquidnet, a billionaire that created to get high frequency trading, big blocks traded.
Gene Munster,
who everyone knows will be there hanging out all day. Adam Dell, who's CEO of Clarity Money, which has just raised $15 million. That's actually Michael Dell's brother. The names don't stop there, though, Nicole and Spencer. We wanted to bring the most talent in one day, in one room, not just to learn from them, but for people to meet them. Ron Suber, the president of Prosper Marketplace, which is a huge company in the lending space. Tim Hockey, the CEO of Ameritrade. Kelly Kehoe, the global head of digital wealth for JP Morgan. Jim Ricciatelli, the CEO of Unison.
Kathleen Murphy,
the president of Fidelity, who doesn't speak at events usually. It's you can't get access to these people. You just can't. And if you have a business you're trying to build, or you want to learn about investing or trade and how this stuff works behind the scenes, this one day, there's nothing like it. I mean, there isn't. It's and then there's surprise people that we don't even put on here. Like one of them, the surprise, it's not even on the agenda yet. We're interviewing the head of Foursquare about how they come up with their data and sell it to hedge funds. I mean, that's something that you just won't hear. This isn't live casted. You got to be in the room.
And if you enjoy our show, some of our guests will be there. Tim Seymour, who has been on our show before, will be there. Paula Monica, we hope, will be there. Gene Munster, of course, we mentioned, will be there. So we're going to have some of our most popular guests on the show. They will be at the FinTech Awards as well.
Nicole, I think, has a, for the Benzinga pre-market prep listeners, we are running out of tickets, but we'd love to get some of you guys in there. And I know, last minute travel can be expensive, but, the ROI, the return on investment you'll get from being at this event, be it meeting investors, it's a ton of networking. I would say 70% networking, 30% learning. Last year or 2 years ago, two guys met their co-founders and now created a $1 million company or more than that. Another guy raised $10 million at our event. Another guy got a $1 million contract with one of the biggest brokerages annually a year at our event. So if you're trying to build a business, but if you're just trying to learn as well, but we want to give a special to our pre-market listeners. So Nicole has a coupon code for you guys. So
yes. What's the code? The code is GROWTH. It's all capitals. And it's actually $300 off of the general mission, so $297. And that deal is special to our pre-market listeners.
So GROWTH, it's in the chat, GROWTH. It's in our chat. And if you're listening to the podcast, there you go, GROWTH.
And it's going to expire at the end of the day tomorrow.
Excellent.
So they only have
really good to know. And the website, again, the link is in the chat, BenzingaFintechAwards.com.
Or just type in BZAwards.com for easier. And, we want you guys to go, so buy the tickets right away, because if the coupon runs out before tomorrow, then we'll be out. And it's really hard to make more because the room is only so big and the people coming are just the biggest in the space.
All right. Wait, don't let Raz go yet. He came on the show a couple months ago, and he was just crazy about a stock. And he was going on. He actually came on the show, and he said, this is a must-own stock, and I don't know what it was. You got to remember what it was, Jason.
I'm assuming Tesla?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
So first, I want to know, what inspired you to just go crazy? I mean, you were convinced. I know you put 97% of your portfolio into it. Do you still have it? Do you have a price target? We are going to find that clip. You and I think Tesla was, around 200, 210 at the time?
Yeah, it was down there. I remember him talking about it because I was like, man, it seems overvalued to me. I've been dead wrong. You got to fade me and go with Jason on this one.
So Tesla, I have a price target of 500, okay? My original buy point, and I'll show it. And if you guys want to look at my Twitter, it's Jason Raznick. And I'm going to put up on my Twitter today where I sold shares of Amazon. I have the ticket statement. I have the ticket statement. I found it again yesterday. I'm going to put it on my Twitter today. I sold shares of Amazon at guess what price, guys?
Tell it. You're going to have to tell us.
I'll tell you. $7.19. I'm looking at it right now. 400 shares, $7.19. Okay, so take that.
So you're not going to make the same mistake with Tesla.
So I learned my lesson. So I originally bought Tesla at $36.10 after beating the stock, and I could show the thing. And then I sold some because Brent Slava here is always like, hey, you made a double. You have to be, you have to take some of your gains. I don't blame it on Brent, but he's right, because I would hold stuff and they would fall and stuff. Then I went back and bought it again at 170 and 200. and now it's at 300. A few weeks ago, Joel, if you remember, they had some bad numbers or something with, you know, people are saying, oh, Tesla's screwed. It went down from like 279 to 249, 239. I was like, back the truck up, take your money out of your trunk, put whatever dollar you have in Tesla. Not maybe the smartest advice because, you know, it's like anything can happen. But this company is not a car company. It just isn't. It looks like a car company, but it's all been masquerade for this battery. And he is so far, Elon Musk is so far ahead than anyone else. Like this, I love that the stock bumped up because they're going to introduce a truck. They're going to announce so many more introductions of cars that don't exist, even potentially a motorcycle. When the Model 3 becomes on the road next year, it's going to be ubiquitous. What I'm now thinking of, what are the derivative plays of Tesla? Do you short oil companies? Because there's going to be less gas stations on the corners. I mean, the opportunity will be more, charging stations. But there's going to be a lot of changes when you have a Tesla. What about the 20-minute oil change companies? How many oil changes are you going to need when you have a Tesla? It's going to keep going, and it's going to keep introducing new things. And I just think you're going to be off a combustion engine. Anyone that has a Tesla, they don't want to be back on a combustion engine. So Tesla is one of these high-flying stocks. Tomorrow there could be a negative news about something. But like yesterday, they got taken off the top consumer reports car, and this thing didn't get hurt that much. There's a lot of people in Tesla now, and any negative headline could hurt it, but that could also be a buying opportunity. When it was at 229 earlier this year, or 219, and everyone thought that was going to die, my friend, who's big Tesla guy, Joel Zertes, who's had the first Tesla in Michigan, he's like, there's no other stock to buy. It's Tesla. So you go long, you trust in Elon, and they're ahead of the game, and they have a plan. And for those out there who want to buy Tesla, I'm a Tesla pricing expert. Tesla just dropped the Model S by $2,000. The Model 75, the 75 went down $4,000. So if you want to lease it, you can lease a Model 75, very fast car, for $1,100 a month. That's really $700 a month because no taxes.
All right, you're getting a lot of love here in the chat. Echograph totally agrees with you as well as Fuzzy. We've been on the line with Jason Raznick. He is the founder and CEO of Benzinga. He will be hosting the FinTech Awards next week, and would love to see our faithful, our loyal listeners from the show.
Next month.
Yeah, come and meet the guys. I mean, they're all here. They do the show for this community, guys. The show, everything's about you. If you want certain people at the event, maybe you want a Jeff Bezos, tell us. We have access to those kind of guys. I mean, we talk to Elon Musk. We talk to those guys. That's what Benzinga does. That's who Benzinga is. And hope you're enjoying the show. Again, the coupon code that may expire, it expires tomorrow, but it could be out when the tickets are sold today, is growth. We hope to see you there. Thanks for the time, Joel and Spencer. And by the way, guys, I do get them wrong, too. I went long Twitter at $30. What's that, 16? Maybe 35. So I'm long and strong Twitter, down like 50%. So, but Tesla is a good one. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
All right.
I'll tell you, you know, the one point that Jason makes right there, and, you know, a point that I've been flawed on in Tesla in my analysis, is he says it's not a car company. And, you know, if you stop thinking of it in comparison to Ford and GM, then, you know, all of a sudden the valuation maybe doesn't, you know, seem ridiculous. So, you know, that's probably my flaw for the last 100 points. Why? Because I've obviously not been a Tesla fan here for the last 100. Jason's been all over it. So nice job, Jason, you know, analyzing this not as a car company. We got Jason on here more, man. He's got some good analysis.
Yeah, we will get him on a lot more. He loves it. And, you know, just the analysis that Jason gave, Nick Shaheen came on a couple weeks ago, remember? Because he was sticking with our valuation, like you can't do this and it can't do that. But he just flat out said, you know, you can't look at that as a car company anymore.
And then everything changes.
Yep.
And, you know, that's the difference. So you're comparing to Ford and you're like, and I just got done saying on the show 20 minutes ago, I was like, I see lots of Ford GMs. I don't see any Teslas, so I can't wrap my head around it. If you start thinking of it as not of a car company, maybe, you know, then you can wrap your head around a little more around the valuation. But it's still too expensive for me, though.
But you're not sure.
It's not a value stock. And, you know, that's what I stick in my investment portfolio. So it just doesn't fit my own personal theme. But, you know, maybe I should start adjusting my own personal themes because Tesla would have been a good one.
Yeah, well, if they, I mean, it's a long way from a real strong causative, cash flow or whatever. But, man, can imagine what the stock would do someday if they could issue a dividend. I mean, there's so much in this.
I mean, we're a long ways away from there. Let's get to profitability. Let's just think right. about, you know, if think about it not as a car company, and then, you know, maybe you can start. You know, but you can't argue with momentum in this market. I mean, at a certain point, you know, sometimes valuation just is forgotten anyways, you know, and certain stocks are such growth stocks, they don't have to worry about valuation until you have to worry about valuation. So obviously 1999, everybody said that too. You know, I remember even my CFA, when I was doing my CFA back in 2001 or 2000, I was taking my first level of my CFA designation. I remember there was a section there, how to value a stock with zero earnings. And they had a whole chapter on, you know, how to value stocks that don't make money, because there was so many stocks in the tech bubble that didn't make money and maybe never were going to make money. And then 3 years later, they scrapped that chapter because we had the tech crash. But, you know, Tesla, completely different story here. Tesla, obviously, you know, if you start thinking of not as a car company, then, you know, you start maybe wrapping your head around the valuation. So, let's jump over here to the other earnings stocks, and because we got about 7 minutes here left, and there was a ton of them. If there's any specific stock you want to talk about in the chat, let us know here, because there's, like I said, 255 companies reporting today, so we can't possibly get to them all. But let's go to UPS, because UPS did report earnings here this morning. Stock is trading $1 in the pre-market. I did see FedEx and UPS got a government contract as well, so that was helping them last night. But UPS trading up here in the pre-market. Spencer.
UPS got a $2.35 billion contract. That was yesterday. This morning, the earnings is $1.32 versus $1.29. Sales of $15.315 billion versus $15.2 billion. So they beat on the top and they beat on the bottom, and they reaffirmed their outlook for the year.
What do you think of this stock? I had this at one time in my investment portfolio, and I sold it out, and it's kind of the same spot, you know, where I sold it, and that's like a year ago here. It's got a 3% dividend, so it fits my description, you know, of a value stock. But then, you know, I don't know. It's just kind of done nothing here for so long. What are your thoughts here, UPS, Joel?
Well, short term, 110.50, that's your pre-market high. I think the big bogey, though, is 112 even. I believe that was from the last earning report when you gapped down. And just looking at the dailies, you know, one day after, right, the bad earnings report, it put the bottom in. I mean, someone's got to deliver all those packages, right, from Amazon and, you know, UPS or FedEx. I mean, it's a growing part of the economy. I mean, the only thing that really scares me about these two stocks, and we've had, you know, some whispers of it before, you know, what if Amazon figures out the way to deliver their own packages?
That's why I sold my – I had FedEx and UPS both in my investment portfolio, and that is the reason that I sold both of those stocks. Yeah. And I sold them last year. Obviously, been a little bit early. I think I sold my FedEx around like 170, and I think I sold my UPS right around 104, 105. So I'm not far off on that one. But that is the exact reason why I sold those out of my invest portfolio, is that I am worried about competition from Amazon and the shipping.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not something, you know, that you worry about, and not necessarily shorting the stock, but there's some fundamentals that could really change. I mean, wasn't there a rumor a year or two ago that they bought a flight center in Ohio or something like that? I don't know. I mean, it's a long ways away, but fundamentally, that's what's keeping me out of the issue. FTX is getting a little sympathy pop as well off this.
There was a government contract too announced last night for FedEx, so that could help as well.
It was also $2.35 billion.
They're being nice and equitable there at the government. Yeah. They give everybody the same contract.
Wow, okay. All right. 855 here. S&P's have found a little bit of resistance here. 86.50 backed off to 84.25.
Yeah, and just to note, Under Armour starting to leak here a little bit. It's only up 3% here now. NOW, Ed Parker wants to know about ServiceNow. Stock Wild Child here, getting a nice pop in the pre-market, though, off their earnings from last night. Give us the numbers there, Spencer, and then Joel, break down technicals.
Yeah, nice numbers there on the Q1 adjusted EPS. 25 cents versus 17 cents. Sales of $424 versus $409 million. So they beat on the both. They see Q2 sales coming in much higher than the estimate. The estimate was $451 million. The sales that they see for Q2 is a range of $469 to $474 million. So they blew out the sales estimate, and then for the fiscal year, that's coming in higher as well.
Stock getting a big lift here in the pre-market. NOW, this is new all-time high.
Yeah, former all-time high, 94.72. That will act as support if we go into retreat here. Trading right at the highs of the pre-market session, 96.71. This is your high print, last print at 96.37. So not, you know, as opposed to like your Seagate yesterday that was going down, hanging out near the pre-market low. This is hanging out just near the pre-market high. Let's just take a look at X here. Just kind of hanging. Dennis, they might absorb that big sell imbalance. It's
they might.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to risk the house on it. But and Seagate here, that's trying to find some support too. At least it's not going down like it did.
Yeah, 254,000 to sell, so it's about the same on U.S. steel here now. It needs to hold yesterday's low. I'm just going to say, if you're trying to call the bottom here on X, I don't want to see us there trading 2220, 2210, because then you start thinking, holy cow, this could blow through another candle here. So needs to hold yesterday's low, 2256, you know, within a dime or 15 cents, I'd say, you know, to have that potential for a double bottom. If it doesn't, I don't want any part of it long.
Wow, UA and UAA are really
leaking. They're really leaking.
Whoa. Look at that. They pulled
the I don't know what was said on the call, but UAA is now up only 1%. This thing was up over 10% here when we started the show. So maybe the conference call, maybe they said something, but this is a stock that has given back almost its entire gain here now.
All right. Do we even bother with any ratings today? Was there anything?
There was a few. So many earning stocks, too. I saw McDonald's, another upgrade for McDonald's. How many upgrades? Argus is upgrading McDonald's here this morning. So I saw that one. Also, Eli Lilly catching a downgrade from Argus. So there was two. Cisco upgraded at Credit Suisse to outperform. U.S. Steel, we already talked about, downgrade Deutsche Bank. Spencer, any other ones that jumped out at you there?
I mean, you pretty much got the main ones. A lot of analysts chasing price this morning, so nothing really that I want to focus on. You said, Microsoft, Salesforce outperform at Credit Suisse. I mean, not a whole lot going on for me. Dish upgraded at Barclays, but, you know, that's really it.
Dish has come back a long ways. This thing, and I got the beats on it, but look at this chart in Dish. This one's really interesting, Joel. This stock absolutely murdered for about 3 days in a row there, from 64 down into the 57 handle. And then for 7 days later, we are almost back up at those highs. What are you thinking here?
I'm thinking, how did you get tan buying that thing?
I got tan. I got hit buying that thing.
When?
But it was on that big first red candle. I was way too early on that one.
Right. Oh, and I think it was
one of my worst trades in a long time. I got hit on that thing. I had it overnight, and I thought it was going to have a sympathy move. It was with Straight Path was getting the competing bid from Verizon. And I was like, you know what? Dish is some 5G stuff. I was like, I'll pick this up. And it went straight down. And I was like, deer caught in the headlights. And that's the one thing about having, a stock like Dish off the hop. When you get caught on the wrong side of, any news, there is just no liquidity in the first minute of trading in that stock. It was like 50 cents wide. I'm sitting with like 800 shares or something. I'm like, just watch my P&L. And, I did, end up actually working out of it okay, considering, because I think I only lost about a point on it. And it fell another 2 points that day. So I actually got out okay. Still losing a point sucks. But anyways, Dish has come all the way back. So I guess I should have held.
Don't look, Dennis, but where do you think Straight Path is at right now? Don't look.
Oh, I looked a couple days ago. I saw 122. Where is it at?
133.79. Yeah.
It hasn't even got the competing bid yet, has it? Have we actually seen a bid from Verizon? Because it came out with the rumors. AT&T, so the story on STRP. If you haven't been following the STRP saga, stock, gets this, it's a $35 stock. It's a crazy takeover bid from and maybe not crazy because it's a low market cap stock, but a huge takeover bid from AT&T for like $96. And you're like, okay, story's over. Well, then rumors break. Verizon's going to top them. And that's the rumors from a while ago. I don't think we've actually seen a competing bidder yet. Stock's trading like 30 points over its takeout price on the hopes that Verizon's going to put competing bid in. And obviously, maybe they're probably going to do this. I don't think it would trade 30 points if there wasn't going to be one. But holy cow, man, this is a windfall for whoever had this stock.
Yeah, and so much for our advice of selling the initial pop on this one. It's like 40 bucks ago. All right, Spencer, we're running over into your work time here. You want to wrap things up?
Well, it's my nap time, but I'd appreciate it if we, on the show tomorrow, we've got Michelle Krebs, senior auto analyst at Auto Trader. So great. Great that we had four today. Isn't GM tomorrow morning?
That's why we got Michelle on
tomorrow morning for that. Quick reminder to check out Benzinga Pro. It's Benzinga's real-time news platform. Check that out at pro.benzinga.com. It's what we're using every day throughout the show. Also, the Benzinga FinTech Awards, like Jason and Nicole talked about. It's BenzingaFinTechAwards.com. The offer code for pre-market prep listeners is growth, and that expires end of the day tomorrow. If you missed any part of our show today, catch the whole thing again on YouTube, or in about an hour, the podcast will be up on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. And please remember that all the information, material, and content from our show is for informational purposes only and not meant to be investment advice. Have a good rest of your Thursday, everybody. We'll be back with you folks tomorrow. From Michelle Krebs.
Whether you're a short-term swing trader or a long-term investor, you need to check out Thinkorswim, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. There's a reason why Thinkorswim has been named the number one trading platform, because it has it all. With Thinkorswim, you can trade stocks, options, futures, Forex, and virtually every other type of order. Get notifications on mobile devices and interact with other traders in chat rooms. You can also use technical indicators and see the latest investing and trading education in Think Money magazine. If you want to keep up with the markets, you need Thinkorswim. To experience everything Thinkorswim has to offer, open a TD Ameritrade account today. Thinkorswim, the online trading platform for traders and investors. TD Ameritrade, member SIPC. All investing involves risks.